to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Book of Matthew, chapter 7. I'd like to read verses 24 through verse 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through verse 27. Jesus, of course, is doing the speaking. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Through verse 27, verses 24 through 27, those are the closing words of the Sermon on the Mount. The sermon, of course, was preached by Christ to the disciples in the hearing of the multitudes. We see that if we turn to chapter 5 in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And I believe he spoke to the disciples, but in the hearing of the multitude. The theme of the Sermon on the Mount is really established in Matthew 5 in verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was defective. It was defective. And from what Christ said of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, we'll not turn there to save time, but Christ had a lot to say about the Pharisees in that chapter. And basically what he said was that they were more interested in guarding their religion and their traditions than they were about learning the truth of the Lord. They put the emphasis upon the outward to the neglect of the inward. They had absolutely no regard for the spirituality of the soul. They were desirous of preeminence. They were desirous of public salutations. They liked distinguished titles. They were partial in their observance of the law of God. That is, they picked and chose which laws that they would obey, and the ones they picked, they were very zealous about. In other words, they picked that which suited their fancy and left everything else and neglected everything else. They really, their biggest failure was they simply failed to put first things first. And they did what they did, everything they did for self-glory, and they did out of self-interest. This was the character of the scribes. This was the character of the Pharisees. Now, in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is preaching a righteousness that goes beyond the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. He's teaching a righteousness which is not merely outward, certainly not based upon self-glory and self-interest. It was simply a sermon that went beyond self-righteousness, went beyond and outer righteousness. It was a sermon that stressed the inward righteousness of the heart. You see this all through, especially in Matthew 5 and verse 6. Matthew 5 and also Matthew chapter 6. It is a sermon basically about kingdom living on earth. It was a sermon about being a testimony to the world and an influence upon the world, being the salt and light of the world. It was a sermon about the law of God in our daily lives, and not only in our daily lives, but he stressed the heart. When he spoke about adultery, he spoke about adultery in the heart, not just adultery outwardly. It was a sermon about praying. It was a sermon about priorities of the heart and priorities of the life. And if we get the priorities of our heart right, the priorities of our life will be right. It was a sermon that stressed that the spiritual was always to take precedence over the physical. It was a sermon about trusting the Lord in everyday life. It was a sermon about how to treat others. It was a sermon about just simply living everyday life God's way. It was a sermon that would be very, very distasteful to the flesh and blood. Certainly a sermon that would be very distasteful to those who were simply religious, like the Pharisees and the scribes. And it was at direct opposition to the inclinations of the flesh. And you just think about some of the things that Jesus said, and you see that this would have been very distasteful to the flesh and would have been an opposition to the flesh. In Matthew 5, verse 29 and 30, he said, "If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Then he goes on to say the same thing about the right hand in verse 30. These would be very difficult things for the flesh. Notice, beginning with verse 38 of chapter 5, he says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil." That's pretty difficult on the flesh. "That you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." That's contrary to our flesh. "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." Again, this would be very distasteful to the flesh. These are very difficult things. In verse 41, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies." Now that's contrary to the flesh. "Bless them that curse you," contrary to the flesh. "Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Again, this was a very difficult message for the flesh to swallow. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 3, he said, "When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." That is, you do it secretly. You don't do it for self-glory. You don't do it for self-interest. Verse 4, "That thine alms may be in secret." Again, all of this is contrary to the flesh. In verse 16, he said, "When ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast." Again, they did everything for show. In verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth," contrary to the flesh. Verse 25, "Take no thought for your life." So all through this sermon, we see it would have been a sermon that was very difficult on the flesh, very contrary to the flesh, standing in strict opposition to the flesh. So this would have been a sermon that was difficult for many in that multitude to hear. Now, coming to our text in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, the opening, therefore, of verse 24 is indicative of the fact that Jesus is drawing to a conclusion. He is now going to make application of what he has said. Notice the phrase, "these sayings of mine." He mentioned that in verse 24. He said it again in verse 26. "These sayings of mine." Going back to everything that he has said in this Sermon on the Mount. Now, in this sermon, Jesus addresses his hearers with instruction after instruction, instruction upon instruction, exhortation upon exhortation, one thing after another. And then think of the importance of this message. "These sayings of mine." There's nothing more important than when Jesus says, "these sayings of mine." We see that this stresses the importance and the preeminence of the message of this book. "These sayings of mine." Now notice the words, verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Then notice verse 26, "and everyone that heareth," which would coincide with whosoever. "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine." Keep in mind, he's speaking to the disciples, but he's speaking in the hearing of the multitude. "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine." In those two statements, Jesus was placing individual responsibility upon each one who had heard this sermon. Each one who had heard this sermon was now responsible. And every single time that you and I come under the sound of this book, we are included in that whosoever. We are included in that everyone. What this means is that every single time that you and I are under the sound of this book, we are individually responsible what we do with the message. We are individually accountable for what we do with the message. We want to speak this evening upon when the sermon is done, it remains to be done. When the sermon is done, it remains to be done. I want to notice four main points. First of all, Jesus classifies the hearers of this message into two groups. Again, the sermon was preached to the disciples in the hearing of a multitude, which is many people. In that crowd, there were male and there was female. In that crowd, those who heard that message, there were various age groups. In that crowd were various personalities. In that crowd were many different genealogies, many different backgrounds, many different experiences. In that crowd was a variety of intellect. It was a wide range of status. It was a wide range of position. And there were varying circumstances in that crowd. But regardless of the great diversity of that crowd, Jesus classifies all that heard into two groups. A wise man, verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Verse 26, a foolish man. So you have this great multitude of people, male and female, various age groups, various personalities, various backgrounds, different levels of intellect, different ranges of status and position. Jesus did not classify them as male and female. He did not classify them by age groups. He did not classify them into personality groups. He said, of all this multitude, there are two kinds of hearers. One I will liken to a wise man, and one I will liken to a foolish man. And I believe that that is so right now. That has always been so. That when the word of God is preached, there are the wise and there are the foolish. Regardless of male or female, regardless of age, regardless of status and intellect, none of that matters. You're either wise or you're foolish. When we come under the sound of God's word. And oh, how different these two are. What a difference there is between the wise and the foolish. What a difference it makes in their life, as we will see, between the wise and the foolish. They're as different as night and day. The wise are to exercise good spiritual judgment. They have spiritual awareness. In the context, they have good spiritual judgment and awareness concerning what they have heard. The foolish, on the other hand, they lack good spiritual sense. They lack good spiritual judgment. And they are spiritually unaware as they listen, as they hear the word of God. So there are two groups. Secondly, Jesus speaks of two responses to his message. Two responses. And really, there are many different responses. Some can get angry, some can be indifferent, but really you can put them all into two groups. The wise, the foolish. Them that do not. What makes one wise or foolish didn't have anything to do with gender. Did not have anything to do with age. Had nothing to do with personality type. Had nothing to do with their genealogy. Had nothing to do with their background or their experience or their intellect or their status or their position. What determined whether they were wise or foolish was simply this. What did they do with what they heard? What did they do with what they heard? Notice verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. They both heard. Whosoever heareth, and everyone that heareth. Heareth is a verb. It is an action word. It is something that we do. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and then notice that next word, verse 24, and. Now notice verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and. That is a conjunction. It is a connecting word. It is a continuation. It is a continuation of the verb. What was the verb? Hearing. Both heard. And there was something that happened after the hearing. There is a continuation that follows the hearing. The word that follows that word and in verse 24 is another verb. Doeth. Verse 26, and doeth not. So one action, hearing, was followed by another action. You either did or you did not. The message is over. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, the message is over. And, so again, the valuable lesson is, when the sermon is done, it remains to be done. If you think for one moment that when this message ends or any other message ends, that's it, you are a foolish person. You are not a wise person. You are foolish. And your foolishness will be manifest in your life. It is not so much the truth, or it's not so much what truth is being preached. Now, don't misunderstand what I said. I did not say it does not matter what is preached. That's not what I said. But it's not so much what truth is being preached. Truth. I'm not talking about error. I'm talking about truth being preached. It's not so much about that as it is as much as we do with it. What are we going to do with what we hear? In verse 24, it is, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. This is obedience. This is compliance with what Jesus has said. This is conformity. This is submission to what Jesus said. Christ said, the one who does these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man. Notice that the obedience is not just a picking and choosing what you desire. Notice what it says. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. The them goes back to what? These sayings of mine. These sayings of mine. And that would include all the sayings of Christ. It would include everything that Jesus said in this sermon. Whosoever doeth them, this individual is a wise man. Now, verse 26, it is everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. This man is likened to a foolish man. You see, the wise man manifests that he has good spiritual judgment and awareness by what he does with the message that he has heard. The foolish man manifests that he has no spiritual judgment has no spiritual awareness by what he does with the message that he has heard. But both the wise and the foolish do something with the message. And what they do with the message manifests whether or not they are wise or whether or not they are foolish. Now, whether we realize it or not, hearing the Word of God preached, every time we hear God's Word preached, we sit there, we listen, and we make a personal judgment. We make a personal judgment. We make a personal assessment concerning the message. I'm not talking about whether or not it was homiletical or any of that. You make, as soon as the text is read, you have made a judgment in your mind. You have made an assessment in your mind. And as that message is preached, you make an evaluation. I'm not talking about how it's preached. You may judge that also. But everyone makes a judgment, an assessment, an evaluation of what is preached. And your judgment and your assessment and evaluation will determine what you do with the message. And that manifests whether you're wise or whether you're foolish. Thirdly, notice the similitudes that Jesus uses concerning these two hearers. Again, Jesus speaking to the disciples in the hearing of the multitudes categorizes all of these hearers of this Sermon on the Mount into two groups. There are the wise, and there are the foolish. The wise hear the message and do what they've heard. They make application to themselves. The foolish hear the message and do not. Now, it doesn't matter. If you fall amongst the foolish, you can go out the door and you can say, "Wow, that was a great message. I really appreciate that." You could go out the door angry. You could go out the door and make a snide remark. Either way, all of those are in the same group. The foolish. They go out and they do not. If you go out and you do not apply the message to yourself, you do not seek to obey the message, that puts you in the category of the foolish. Doesn't matter what your response is to me or whoever else preached the message. Because there have been many people through the years that have said, "Oh, that was a wonderful message," and I thought you didn't hear a word of it. Because I know good and well that you wouldn't say that if you really heard it. But that's another subject. But anyway, notice the similitude. The wise hear the message and do. The foolish hear the message and do not. In picturing these two individual hearers, Jesus uses the similitude of building a house. He says in verse 24, "A wise man which built his house." Verse 26, "And a foolish man built his house." So both the wise and the foolish built something. And I believe everyone who hears the message of the Lord builds something. They each build something. So they both built. What does it mean to build? It means to construct. They both constructed something. They both assembled something. They both made something. They both formed something. They both fashioned something. What they did with the message that they heard is likened unto the building of a house. both the wise and the foolish. They both heard, and they both built a house. Now think about a house. A house is a place of residence. It's where we live. So when we hear the message of God, we're building a house. We're establishing a place where we live. And this is going to be a determining factor in our future. We are establishing a place where we live. A house also is a place of rest. We are establishing a place of rest. A house is a place of protection from the elements. It is a place of security. Now, the hearers of this message are the wise and the foolish. And they are each building a house. Again, you have that word heareth, dot, 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 and then and. Heareth and. Again, when the sermon is done, it remains to be done. It's not really over. You have to do something with it. Oh, that preacher preached on for an hour and a half. I didn't think he'd ever stop. Thank the Lord he finally shut up. But don't you realize the sermon didn't end? It didn't end. That's a big part of our problem today. Too many messages end. And they don't really end. Because we have to do something with them. Heareth and. So hearing is not alone. It is what follows that little word and that determines what we are constructing, what we are assembling, what we are building. What is it that we're building when we hear the message of God? Those who do what they have heard, again, are likened unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Luke describes this man. Notice in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through verse 48. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will liken him to a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So here's this man. He hears and he goes out and he does. And Luke says, in building upon a rock, he digs deep. In an age of superficiality, spiritually, in an age of spiritual shallowness, in an age when religion has degenerated into a mere surface thing, this wise man digs deep. He hears the word. And even after the message is done, he goes home and he digs and he digs and he digs. Form a foundation. He puts forth labor. He puts forth effort. Those who do not, that is, they hear but they doeth not, they're like the foolish man which built his house upon a sand. Their spiritual life is shallow. They are led by their feelings rather than the Spirit of God. They are looking for quick results. And if it doesn't come quickly, they don't want anything to do with it. They are spiritually lazy. They are spiritually selfish. And the truth is, they are more interested in the things of the world than the things of God. And they are more concerned with how the house looks than how it's built. I don't know that these two houses look that much different. They may have appeared to be the same, but oh, how different they were. One was built upon a rock, and one was built upon sand. That is, they both heard. One put forth great effort in what they heard. The other put forth no effort whatsoever, or very little. He built upon sand. Now, fourthly, all of this teaches us what we do with the heard Word of God has great impact upon our future. You may think that message was just for that hour. Oh, how wrong. It could impact your future. What you do with that message, I've seen it happen many, many times, can impact your future to the good, to the bad. In both cases, the storms came. Verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. Hammered that house. And it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. We read the same thing in verse 26. Same trials came, hammered that house. But the results were completely different. It fell. And great was the fall of it. So in both cases, the rain descended. That would be trials from above, trials sent directly by God. In both cases, the floods came. There would be trials from beneath. In both cases, the winds blew. That is, trials came from all directions. We do not know when, and we do not know to what degree the rain will descend, but it will come. I'm talking about spiritual trials. We do not know when, and we do not know to what degree the floods will come, but they will come. No matter who you are, whether you're wise or foolish, they will come. And we do not know when, and we do not know to what degree the winds will blow, but they will come. And you'll notice in both cases, the rains, the floods, the winds beat upon that house. Hammered. That house, both cases. What that is simply saying is, whatever it is you're building, it's going to be tested. It's going to be tested. You say you believe something, it's going to be tested. It's going to be tested. So the storms will come. Notice that they who hear and obey, though the trials and the difficulties beat upon that house, it fell not. Now, who are these? These are the ones that hear and do. They hear and they obey what they've heard. Also notice that they who hear and disregard what they hear, trials and difficulties will come upon them also, and that will beat upon their house. But the difference is, and it fell. Ruins. Again, when the sermon is done, it remains to be done. And if we leave it undone, according to this text, we guarantee ourselves a fall. So what you do with the message matters. Oh, it may not matter. It may not seem to matter right now. It may not seem to matter for a week. It may not seem to matter for years. But one day, the storm is going to come and is going to beat upon your spiritual house. And what you did with those messages will be manifest. You'll either stand or you'll fall. And if it falls, oh, isn't it so sad? They just weren't strong enough to endure all those trials. Why? Why weren't they strong enough? Goes back to what they've been doing all their lives. Hearing messages and not putting them into practice. Hearing messages and not obeying. Building a house upon sand. I'm telling you, one day the storms are going to come. One day the rains are going to fall. One day the floods are going to come. One day the winds are going to blow and beat upon your house. And your house will either stand or it will fall. And a lot of that has to do with what you've done with all the messages that you've heard. It's not just enough to hear. He did not say, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man. That's not what he said. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man. Hearing is only the first step. It's what we do with what we hear. And most people here, you've heard thousands of messages. Thousands. And you've been building something. We've all been building a house. As we hear those messages, and as we go from this building, what do we do with the message? We're building a house. So we see that what we do with the message of the Word of God now determines our ability to withstand future storms. All of this stresses the great importance, the consequence, and the seriousness of what we do with what we've heard from this book. We've heard many messages, but what have we done? What have we done? Do not underestimate the importance of hearing messages from this book. But don't ever forget, when the sermon is done, it remains to be done. In other words, there's something we have to do with the message. You hear, and now you are responsible. Now you are accountable for what you do with the message. You say, well, there are those who don't really pay much attention. Oh, but they hear. They hear. And what they do with what they hear determines, or doesn't determine, it manifests whether or not they are wise or foolish. So every time you and I come under the sound of the truth, we have to do something. We have to do something with what we have heard. And what we do manifests whether or not we're wise or foolish. What we do with what we've heard from this book shapes our life, shapes our future, because the storms are coming. Whether or not you do the Word of God or whether or not you disobey the Word of God, the storms are coming. Everyone's going to have storms. Everyone's life is going to be tested. And there are going to be times when it beats upon that house. People have said things like, well, anybody would have fallen under those conditions. Oh, that's not true. That's not true. Because I doubt seriously that you've gone through what Job went through and he didn't fall. So don't make such foolish statements, because it's just not true. There's no fact in that whatsoever. But all we need to see, just how important it is what we do with each and every message. Because if I build a house and I put other people under the umbrella of that house, when it falls, they're affected too. We need to take seriously the preached Word of God, because what we do with it shapes our lives and shapes our future. Be careful how you train your children to listen, how you train your children to respond to messages. You could be training them to build a house on sand. You could be guaranteeing them a future of ruins. This is how I build my house, and this is how I want you to build yours. Just follow my example. Oh, and how sad. Because that's what many have done. Moms and dads have built upon sand for years. And their children have learned that same way of building. Build upon sand. But one day the storms are going to come. It's going to beat upon that house. And it'll either stand or it'll fall. And the one that hears and does, it fell not. The one that hears and doeth not, it fell, and great was the fall of it. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse in